With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to other comedians about jokes they can't get to work for whatever reason. What could be one of those reasons, Joel?
It's too long.
Well done, Joel. Good input. How are you doing, Joel? Joel Grove, producer. Producer Joel.
Producer Joel Grove here. I am well. How are you?
You're well. Yeah, I'm good. Anything changed in lockdown since
no,
I last spoke to you?
No, nothing's changed.
We've started watching all the Marvel films.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my girlfriend hasn't seen any of them, so that's fun.
That is fun.
But she's getting a little bit bored of it now, I think. And we're up to... We just watched Iron Man 3.
Wow. How often are you watching them?
No, sorry. Every day.
Oh, bloody hell.
And yesterday we watched two in a day.
Is this just something you wanted to do?
What's that?
Is this just something you wanted to do?
Well, we sort of said that... I mean, she's into film, so she should know... The Marvel films.
Yeah.
Don't you think? They're quite... As a franchise, you should have watched all the Marvel films if you're into films, don't you think?
No, I don't know if you should see all of them.
But the thing is, they're getting better.
They do get better.
Go. So she really enjoyed Iron Man 3, and I think that was his best one up to date.
Yeah.
Up to that date.
Yeah.
It's very good. But I think the mistake I made was I suggested watching Thor 2 straight after.
Oh.
And that... was too much.
That's bad, isn't it? Is that one bad?
Yeah.
The Dark World.
With the elves. It's not the best. Because
yeah.
Ragnarok's the best Thor one.
Oh, Ragnarok's really genuinely brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. So I keep telling her, don't worry, they're getting better. Plus, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy coming up and they're the best.
Oh yeah, they're great.
So yeah, so we'll get through the rubbish ones. But that's what we've been doing. What else have you been doing?
Nothing as exciting as that. Watching The Last Dance, which is brilliant.
It is. We basically binge them as soon as they come out.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah,
can't help yourself.
It's really good, isn't it?
I started watching a good new show called Upload.
Oh, what's that?
It's on Amazon Prime. It's made by Greg Daniels, who is the creator of The US Office and worked on The Simpsons and, you know, is a very... esteemed American comedy writer and director, and it's about it's set in like 2033, and it's you can upload your brain to like a virtual VR afterlife when you die, and it's really good. I think we watched like three episodes or so. It's a little bit like San Junipero episode of Black Mirror, but with more jokes.
That's what Westworld is, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like that, but, you know, a sitcom.
But funny.
Yeah.
Oh, wicked. All right. Check that out,
Some
people.
Big recommendations. There you go. There's two recommendations. A show called Upload or lovely. All of the Marvel films.
There's a lot. So, this week, we've got Kai Humphries.
Hey.
One of the nicest people in comedy. Someone I did a showcase show with in 2010.
Wow.
I believe. Yeah, good times. And oh yeah, he's got a podcast as well, if you like podcasts, which I'm assuming you do because you're listening to this one. What's his podcast called, Joe?
It's Daniel Sloss and Kai Humphries on the road or on tour, but obviously at the moment they can't do those things, so they're doing quarantine episodes.
Yeah, they are. Cool, so check that out, but not yet.
No.
Once you've listened to this one, and then once you've listened to all the others,
then you're allowed.
Not just all the other podcasts, because you wouldn't be able to do that, but all the other jokes podcasts, and then go and check theirs out. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
But this one was bloody fun. Have a listen.
I've also, as well as the podcasts, they've been going out on Mondays and Thursdays, and then on Tuesdays and Fridays I've been doing live knitting, where I just knit on Instagram Live, and it's not about the knitting. People join in back home, like everybody that knits brings their knitting, and I'll just make it a chat show. If my mates are watching, I'll tag them in, but if nobody no other comedians are there to tag in, or any of my friends from back home, I'll just ask someone to like nominate themselves, and then I end up chatting to someone in America or someone in Austria. Like I was chatting to a pilot from Austria who was like being grounded because of it, so it's like that interesting. You just find out everybody's lives.
Yeah, so give a bit of background, because you'd started knitting for a challenge, right?
Yeah, it was proper toxic masculinity. It was literally a case of anything you can do, I can do better between me and Daniel. We're drunk on New Year, absolutely hammered. And I started rhyming off stuff I was better than him at, like Muay Thai and chess, and he started rhyming off stuff like computer games, and that was it. All of the things that were said were going, but you had a head start. Like, you started playing computer games at a younger age, or played chess with your granddad, and then you taught me how to play it, so how am I meant to be better than you? So we decided on something that none of us had touched, and that was knitting. And we knitted each other a sweater for Christmas. It took us a year to learn how to make a sweater. I think we did at the end, we didn't put it to a vote because it was so subjective, but I was definitely had more skills than him.
Wicked.
You know, like I ended up teaching him quite a few tricks and that. Like, he probably couldn't have made that sweater without what I taught him.
I had a joke about chess that didn't really work, to get on topic. What was it? Something like, did you know, it was like a fact, did you know the first few versions of chess were just drafts? Or were drafts? Or something like that.
That's a good joke.
Yeah, but it worked okay in like an hour show, but like I couldn't put it in a set.
Yeah, did some people just like go, that's all right?
Yeah.
Like, nobody hated it. Nobody hated it, but to get that guttural laugh off them, it was just never there.
Although one time I asked someone what hobby they did, and they said chess, and I did the joke, and it was like, bang, round of applause. I was like, that's mad. It's crazy.
Yes. It's amazing. I had a line about chess that went down well, and I never expanded on it, but like I probably could have, but the routine was about smoking weed, and I just went, if it wasn't for weed, I would never have invented chess too. And it was just a throwaway line, and people liked it. I actually did invent chess too when I was high, and I never went into the rules of it. All right, the sequel to chess. It's chess 2, chess 2, the wild boar power prince. I come up with it with Nazos Manolou and Kieran Boyd.
Yeah.
Back in 2011. And there's an extra line each way, right? So on the chessboard where there's eight rows and eight columns, there's now a ninth column. And it's the one in the middle is where the prince goes between the king and the queen. That's the prince.
And what does the prince do?
You've got an it does everything that the queen does and the knight. So it can do maneuvers like a queen, or it can move like a horsey.
That's so stupid.
It is. It's dumb, isn't
it? But there's only one prince. So, there's not two princes.
You've got a prince each.
Yeah.
You've got a prince each. Now, because the board's expanded, there's now a middle square. There's an odd number of rows and columns, so there's now a middle square. And on there's a wild boar, which is controlled by neither of you, but at the end of each turn, you roll a dice, which has got all the different, it moves like a knight as well. And then it'll move like a knight, and whatever it takes. And if you ever take it, it goes back onto the middle square. So if anyone's on the middle square and you take the boar, it captures the one that's on the middle square. But get this, if the boar, if the boar captures your prince, it becomes the Wild Boar Power Prince. And then it can do everything the queen can do, except it can take out rows of people. So it can...
As if chess isn't complicated enough.
Nah, chess too. But I never divulged the dynamics of this game that we created.
Until now.
But I used to always slide... I used to slide it into my set that we created it and then never give any more.
Oh, that's good. Have you got any knitting stuff since you started knitting?
Yeah, I haven't got it out yet there yet. So it's not muscle memory, but we can try and go over it. The whole concept of it is that you're not meant to knit. We're in a simulation, and knitting is background programming, and you're not meant to look at it. Right, like if you look closely at a woman, like an old woman in a nursing home that's knitting, should be pixelated. Because you're not meant to look at that part of the software. It's just meant to be in the background. You're never meant to look closely at it. So when I was learning how to knit, the programmers of the virtual reality game that we're all in had to make a patch. They had to quickly come up with a coding and programming for knitting because it was never meant to be looked that closely at. And then the deeper I go into it is that that's why if you talk to someone in a nursing home that's knitting, they've only got like a certain amount of phrases that they'll say. They'll be like, I'm 86 next week, and my grandson's coming to visit tomorrow. And then you'll say something else, and they'll go, "I'm 86 last week." And I'm like, it's not dementia; it's lazy programming.
Yeah. I've just watched all the Matrix as well in lockdown, so that's even more on point for me.
Did you? Yeah. I haven't seen the Matrix in ages.
I didn't understand them. I never understood them, mate. And now I get it.
You get it though.
I had no idea. It was all run by robots. I had no idea until last week.
Didn't you? Oh, wow. Because I love the first one, and I feel like the second and third should have been left to the imagination.
Yeah.
I don't think we needed to see behind the curtain.
They're doing a fourth one as well. That's why I started watching them.
Are they?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I mean,
I'll watch it.
Yeah.
You can't not watch a new Matrix movie.
No, but watch the second or third one again, because they really lost me when I was a kid. But yeah. Now they all do make sense. The second one's good. Actually, I mean, the fight sequences are they're too long, if anything. But they're all very good, and they haven't aged badly.
Yeah, have you seen any of the John Wick films as well? It's just one long fight scene. When you talk about fight scenes lasting too long, it's literally just one fight scene that just doesn't end. A bit like Mad Max is like that, isn't it? It's one long action scene.
Yeah.
It's not really, it doesn't really feel like multiple scenes. It's just like one, like I'm talking about the new Mad Max anyway. It's like it should have just been the opening sequence that eventually settled down, but it never does settle down.
I should catch up with the John Wick ones. I'm just trying to find stuff to watch now, like just to fill time. That's good.
Yeah, I'm working my way through all the Marvel movies. Now I haven't seen any of them, and I watched them kind of disjointed. Like I got into them late, so like watched them and then occasionally back watched one. So like I didn't really get the through arc as much when I watched Infinity Wars. Yes. So now I'm like properly clued up when I'm going into it. It's like they're completely different films now.
It's all making sense. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So what were you doing before lockdown? Were you writing a new show?
Nah, I was about to write a new show. I've got some stuff written down, like what I just ran past you there. So I'd just done a tour with Daniel and then had a bit of downtime and went on a bunch of holidays. So it was almost as if I knew the lockdown was coming. Yeah. I went to South Africa with Natalie, and then I went to Antigua with one of my friends as a plus one to a wedding for someone I didn't know. Just went to Antigua to gatecrash a wedding.
Brilliant.
But I just, he needs some company. So I just had a couple of mad holidays. So it's quite nice being home.
Yeah.
It's not like I was going stir crazy already.
Yeah, yeah. Are you? Have you written anything since you've been on lockdown? Other than that,
I wrote before the holiday. I wrote a bit about. Because it's part of a longer bit. I tell a story about when I got into a fight, but it's like it's about a 10-minute bit about a fight. But there's a part of it where I get into my mum's phrases that she uses.
Right.
And one of them being, "Well, you're born in a barn."
Yeah,
is that a Geordie thing or is that a common thing?
Well, we had it down south. Yeah,
good, good. Because that was one of my concerns. Is like, I wonder if that's some things are like really uniquely Geordie, you know? Or at least northern, and we share it with Scotland or whatever. So the whole point was like, my mum was there when I was born, so why is she asking me? And also, how have I never heard anyone do that?
That's great, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thank you. And, the way I open it up and dig into it, it's like, how is that an insult on me? So then I paint the picture of my dad's on night shift, my mum's water's break, and she gets in the taxi. She could have called an ambulance, but she's got different ideas. she's in the taxi. Yeah. She's in the back seat, hands resting on the passenger seat in the driver's seat, right? Like screaming between contractions, sweat dripping down her back. And the poor taxi driver nervously looking over his shoulder going, Linda, are you sure you want to go to the farm?
Yeah.
Do you want to go there? We've passed the hospital. We're going the opposite way to the hospital. Are you sure you want to go to the farm? And she's like, don't argue with a pregnant woman.
Oh, that's great.
So she gets to the farm. Should I go through the whole thing?
Yeah, do it, mate.
Right, she gets to the farm. She's in the barn at this point. She's trespassing. The cows are spooked. Right, the farmer comes out wondering what the fuck's going on. Cocks his shotgun, puts a long glove on. I haven't worked out what the farmer's going to do yet, right? But they get in. And the taxi driver doesn't know whether to leave or not. He feels like a bit of a hostage right now. He's like Jamie Foxx in Collateral. Yeah. He doesn't know if he should keep the meter running, he should even charge her. he doesn't know what's going on. I get born with no medical assistance, risking mine and her life. I'm spat out onto this hay. How's that an insult on me for leaving the door open? If you did that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great, man. Especially if you really build all that up for then just to go straight back to where you started.
Straight back to how's that on me? And then another angle I can come at, which I wrote down, and I don't know if it's like either or if I can do both, is my dad taking the phone call on night shift. Like, he gets called at the office, he takes his gloves off and his hard hat, and his boss is like, my dad's waiting for the phone call, right? His wife's heavily pregnant. He's doing his last few night shifts before he takes time off to paternity leave. He's expecting this call, right? And he goes, it's the hospital. And he goes, no, it's the farmer. My dad's like, the farmer? And he texts the phone call, and he's like, I am happy. I'm just a bit confused. That's all. I'll come and get her off your land. I'll be there any minute. And then, so my dad texts the phone call. You only hear his side of the phone call. I'll act it out. And then he puts down the phone and goes, gonna leave all the doors open. That's his main concern.
Is there a thing that automatically shuts doors? Is there like a name for something? I'm gonna have to get all the doors fitted with.
Oh, one of them hinges at the top, the hydraulic hinge. I'm gonna have to get hydraulic hinges. Are they called hydraulic hinges? That's what they are.
I don't know. But they know what you meant. Yeah. If it was a tag.
Oh, man, there's going to be such a draft in my house. Fuck's sake. That gives me in concern after I'm born.
That's great, man. That angle is my favourite. But, I mean, there's no reason you can't do all of them.
Yeah, I think I can do both. I think the one where he picks up the phone, I think because he goes, oh, he's going to leave all the doors open. That's much more of a punchline than, Mom, how's that an insult on me for leaving the door open? It's like, I've already said that at the beginning. I'm bookending it with the same punchline, you know. I'm opening it with the same punchline I'm closing it with. it just adds a bit more force to it once I've painted the picture. A nice little line that I added that maybe that's why we have advent calendars, so we leave a tiny little door open in the build up to Christmas, because Jesus was also born in a barn.
That's good.
But it's such a hard punchline that I don't know how I'm going to tell the punchline.
That's almost like a proper, that's like a one liner, isn't it? Like, on its own.
It kind of is, yeah, but it's like, do I have to fake kind of bewilderment and anger when I do it? Do I have to go, because he too was born in a fucking barn. Or do I just like subtly just go, because he was also born in a barn? It feels like a tough punchline to say. Like, it's,
yeah.
It doesn't
or
snap.
Maybe, or like, say, he too was born. Go, like, just, yeah, look bewildered maybe and go, yeah. Oh, actually, maybe that's why we have Edmund. Then do it like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe that's why we had advent calendars, to leave a teeny tiny little door open and build up to Christmas.
I mean, no offence, but I think that suits you better, that kind of sort of naivety. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, rather than rather than being angry at my mum when I'm actually not.
Yeah, because I don't know, like, that's probably not something to be angry about, is it?
Yeah, because some people really suit that, like, kind of bewildered anger, like Rod Gilbert especially. Yes. Like, when he gets angry about something, it's fucking hilarious, because he too was born in a bloody barn. Like, and that would be class in his hands.
Yeah, because with him, he'd do angry and bewildered.
Yeah, in my hands, I can't really, like, the anger would look so forced.
And you.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Do you do anything with anger? Because you don't. It doesn't really. That wouldn't strike me as would suit you. Because you're just sort of happy.
I'm never hot blooded. Even when I'm talking about stuff that like annoys us, I always do it with a bit of a smile on my face. Like I never like talk hot blooded on stage.
Yeah,
I might try it out. I might try
that's
it on
great,
for a
man.
Bit.
That's a great
probably
bit.
Probably won't.
This is pretty frustrating, isn't it? Because like you're right. Well, that's what I'm finding as well. Is you're writing these joke ideas and you can't and unless you do a podcast like this, you can't try anything out.
Yeah.
It's like, did you ever like had you tried that at New Material Nights, or is that totally fresh?
Yeah, I managed to get it on a work in progress night. I managed to do the whole long form story on a work in progress. So that was more muscle memory than the bit about the knitting that I just went over.
And how was that?
Because I've actually, it went down great. Like the whole bit did.
So how was that linked to the fight?
Oh, it's because my mum busts into the room. Like so the fight is should we unpack the whole
bit?
It's
up to you, man. Yeah, I'm happy to if you want to.
Okay, so I'll isolate the bit where my mum's where I get onto the board at a barn, right? I've got these three lads over at my house. I don't know my mum's in the house.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know my mum's coming home. I think she's at work, but she comes home early and she kicks all of my mates out of the house, right? But the line is when she kicks my mates out, she says, "Do you think this is a fucking hotel?" And she doesn't swear. I'm not going to make my mum swear. "Do you think this is a bloody hotel?" And everyone's mum's got the same book of like shite sayings, riddles.
Yeah.
So they all knew what that meant, right? But like, so I start by unpacking the, "Do you think this is a hotel?" And I'm like, "I don't know what hotel my mum's going to that's full of prepubescent teenage boys," but she revealed a bit too much about herself with that comment. I think she goes on holiday to Berlin or something like that, right?
Nice.
Like, And then I go, "I'm sure, yeah, ma'am, I'm sure even the Travel Lodge in Runcorn, or the Premier Inn in Runcorn, I don't know which hotel to shit on, the Ibis in Runcorn, you get the point.
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't even make the guests share the other guests' bath water." And then I may paint the picture of if you've got older siblings, you'll know that feeling, standing over your brother's bath water like you're about to climb into a tub of tepid Lemsip.
That's great. What? So are you going to now go through like all the sayings and just see what you can get out of any of them?
Well, I only wrote those two. They're the only two that I did. But there's a handful you could go over. That you could maybe do "You'd forget your head if it wasn't screwed on."
Yeah.
There's probably, you know, if you dig them, if you dig them up, there's probably a lot more. What else did mother say? Because it would be dead relatable. Everybody's mother like spoke from the same.
Yeah, and with the head, the part of the body that remembers stuff is the brain, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't forget it because you'd forget your body technically.
If you it would be a body that was left behind. Your head's always going to be with you.
It's always going to remember. Maybe that like. Yeah.
Maybe is that the one being that meta with it?
No, I don't know.
I don't think that's smart.
So what other stuff have you got from previous tours and that you've liked? But
right. So that's up and coming stuff. That isn't essentially stuff that isn't working. That's just stuff that hasn't really had a run out because of the isolation. But there's a couple of routines, and not routines as such, but like observations that I could never fire up. Mm-hmm. One of them. They were both related to the war. One about World War One, which didn't work because it was contentious. And one about World War Two, which just didn't work. And I can't quite understand
why. So
that's
all the war jokes. Interesting.
Yeah, well, I spent a bit of time just reading up on the wars. Like, just every book I read for a while was about World War One for, like, a long time. I was just like, you know, when you just realise you know nothing about a thing.
Yes.
And you go, right, I'm going to go from, like, nothing to everything. I'm going to learn everything I can about that thing. And just, like,
well, that's annoying just fix if you that do part that and knowledge. Then it doesn't work.
And then I get one joke out of it. I did get another joke working. I got a joke working about listening to an audiobook of birdsong and getting aroused at the sex part, because it's essentially fucking birdsong's like it's raunchy. It's a raunchy book. Oh. Yeah, and I was like, it was written by a man and it was being read to us by a man. I'm just getting aroused at it. Like, now I've got questions about my sexuality, and I jumped off that onto some other stuff that I'm
I don't
not
know
unpack.
What birdsong is.
But birdsong's a book.
I thought you were talking about getting turned on by listening to the birds.
the morning chorus.
All right, I'm with you now. It's a book.
The morning chorus really stirs my loins.
That's why everyone wakes up with a hard on.
Yeah, that's great. that's fucking good. I may bring that joke back so I can put that in. I was going to say you should run with that if you haven't. But it would need all the setup, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't work as a tweet. No. Got turned on by birdsong.
A tweet, technically, birds tweet.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just being annoying now.
I'm enjoying them. Right, I'm also going way off point here. Right.
Yes.
Where was I going? Right, so World War One.
Yeah, hit me World War One.
So this is the one that didn't work because...
Fun fact, my favourite war.
It was the last war where they kind of faced up against each other. Yeah. It was the last one that was medieval.
Favourite's probably not the best word, is it?
Yeah.
Can you have a favourite?
I think
because if it's your favourite, you really like it. And that's...
you'd be lying if you said it wasn't your favourite.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you shouldn't be like you're right. You shouldn't have a favourite war, but you do. Whether we're wrong or not, we do have a favourite. So this is the contentious one. When I was reading all this stuff about World War One, two facts cropped up, but they were never put together. And this is why it's contentious. Anybody needs to hear this, right? But these are the two facts. The first fact is that women made all the bullets, and we're very proud of that. When we look back on history, we're very proud that the women in the factories made all the bullets and the munitions for our soldiers. The second fact that never gets put with that is 50% of the bullets in World War One didn't work. No, nobody needs to hear it from me or from anyone. Because, well, this is how I try to expand it, right? Is that, yes, there was other variants, right? There was, like, the technology wasn't as good then as it is now. The transport of them into the war zones, like, they would have maybe got moisture in them, they would have got damaged. There was probably so... If the factories were packed with men, it would probably still be the exact same figure of bullets that didn't work with all the variables, right? It wasn't... we look back on it now, it's not the women's fault, right? But when I'm saying this, I'm backing myself up too much. Like, none of that's funny. None of it's funny. I'm just like,
yes,
I'm just panicking to make them know that I'm on the right lane.
Yeah.
But just so that I could do the punchline that, like, we think that we know that now, looking back. But you know, them 19-year-old soldiers weren't thinking that when the bullet didn't go off. Like, you know that there was a soldier, one of the allies, went over the trenches. He didn't want to go. If he'll get shot in the back by his own men, if he doesn't, right?
Yeah.
He's got to go over the trenches. He's gotten to his almost certain death, right? All he wants is to just make sure he shoots somebody and plays his part in the war before he gets shot.
Yeah.
So he's running across the trenches. The blood's coursing through his veins. He raises his Enfield Lee, looks down the barrel. He's got one of the Germans in his sights, and he's spotted him before he gets spotted. And then all of a sudden, click. Fucking women. And then the side of his head comes off.
Did they think you'd already told them that only 50% worked, so maybe no. So did some of the women go off it a bit?
No. What would happen is in working class places, namely my hometown, it would, like in Newcastle and that, it would go down well. Like everyone right. would be on board with it. No one would think I was being sexist. Everyone was just laughing
of
at it.
Of course not.
Because it was funny, like the women are laughing. But I think when I was doing it in like London and at the festival and stuff like that, like it lasted about 3 days in my Edinburgh show before I was just like, that's leaving a bit of a sour taste in the room.
Yeah.
I think people were like, oh, you can't, why are you saying that? Like, you can't say that. I think people were just like, why is this guy being sexist all of a sudden? But I didn't mean it as sexist. I was just like, these are just two facts that never get put together. Like,
and the point of the joke is you're saying, well, that didn't happen. That's as in they're not thinking that.
Yeah,
like
yeah, but the men are like there was different like different thought patterns back then and different like there wasn't. Feminism wasn't as far as it is now then, so there would have been sexist remarks on the battlefield before soldiers died.
You reckon?
I reckon if your bullets don't go off and you know the women made them, the men at war might have made a remark.
So it's,
I'm not saying I would. But my granddad might have, you know.
Oh, Phyllis.
I wonder if there was a way like I could have put it in the women's hands where I'm in the factory making the bullets as a woman and just going, this will fucking teach them.
Yeah. That's funny.
The cheating bastard.
I tried to do a joke that, I mean, it's not a very good joke at all, about when they went over the top and it being a bit dodgy, as in you got to dodge a lot. I don't think it even worked on Twitter, like nothing. That just came back to me.
Oh, man. Oh, what about, like, my granddad was in the trenches, he went over the top. Like, he never went to battle, he was just a drama queen.
Yeah, that's like, nice. Went,
always going over the top.
That's good. There you go. What's World War II?
World War II one was, a fact I found out was... that when they put the supply drops behind enemy lines for the British soldiers and the civilians, right, they would put, like, medical supplies and food and stuff like that, they would always put in extra large condoms so that if the Germans found the condom, like, found the crates and opened them up, they'd find all these supplies, but they'd see these extra large condoms and they would think our dicks were bigger. So, like, a psychological warfare to emasculate them.
That is
true.
Not true. Then,
well, I've read it.
That's brilliant.
Like, it's something I've read. I can't
that
even.
Is, you know what? That is. I can see that happening. That's like so petty, isn't it? But that's really good.
I would set up that like funny premise, and my punchline was supposed to be, but it never really worked. It never really failed. It always got something, but it never got enough to stay in. And it was. Our lads on the airfield packing the crates and going, oh, I've got an idea. Let's put extra large condoms in because they kind of think that we've got bigger dicks than them, but we haven't. The punchline is that they're laughing because they don't have big dicks. And it's a ploy.
Yeah, that's funny.
They're going to think we've got big dicks, but we don't. We've got regular little teeny tiny dicks, average dicks. But it never really set the audience off.
Really? And then, like, what does that actually... Like, does having a bigger dick make you more intimidating in fighting?
I don't know.
Like, from the Germans' point of view.
If you're thinking they've got bigger dicks than you at the other side of the battlefield, I don't think that's going to make your shot worse. Like, you're not going to be, like... Your hand's not going to be shaking because you've got
a
big dick platoon
maybe
up there.
So you're concentrating as they're running towards you, like,
Yeah, ooh. Nice.
Ooh.
Soldier.
I don't know. Oh, that's interesting. So just nothing, didn't really...
It was like, I don't know, it was like setting off a firework that you expect more from.
It's one of those things because that sometimes comes up in
the setup's probably like more amusing to them than my take on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this has come up on the podcast a few times in that, like, if a fact is amusing in itself, you've got to do quite a lot with it, haven't you, to... But you do it in the you do it 100% in the right way, because that's great, because you're acting it out, this ludicrous thing. Mm-hmm. You're acting it out, so that's like in imagery wise.
Yeah, it had like I was always trying to put like a kind of rock, like a RAF voice on, like they're going to think we've got bigger penises than them. Or like I'll try it in different ways and like try and like embody the person that was filling the crate a bit more, but I couldn't really
do it. Feels like there's something in that.
Yeah, doesn't it? Like I didn't give up on that for a while. Like I kept flogging that one and trying different ways of selling it, but no one was buying really.
Maybe the difference between the two. So would you say the World War One worked better, more consistently, but just not consistent enough?
Well, the World War One, I had it popping off with some crowds, and I had it leaving us in an awkward position with other crowds. Yeah. Other crowds just thought that I was like, other crowds thought I slipped in a bit of misogyny.
Yeah.
And got to try to get away with it, and that's not how I wanted my audience to feel about this.
Yeah.
So it kind of wasn't worth like that the times where there was a payoff.
Yeah.
Like I felt like if this bit goes wrong, it doesn't just like not get a joke, but it leaves them thinking of us.
Yeah. Because joke wise, that with the World War One joke, like if you took the misogyny out, it works well as a joke, and that might be better than the World War II one, because the fact is more believable, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the World War One, when it did work, like I really enjoyed that. As awful as it sounds, I really enjoyed that punchline of going click and then leaving a beat, like, click, women. Yeah. The last thing he says before he dies.
Kai Humphreys!
Kai!
Hashtag Awooga, Kai Humphreys. Yeah, big hashtag Awooga. Yeah, good stuff. Lovely. Thanks for listening, everybody. Very much appreciated. Any feedback about the episode, hit me up at Jokes with Mark across all social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Leave us a 5-star review, why not? Go over to Apple Podcasts, we bloody love hearing from you on there. We've got a big one on Thursday coming.
Yeah, exciting.
Yeah, I've made a decision, Joel. You don't know I've made this decision, but
I'm
we've
excited.
Recorded Nick Helms episode and we're going to put it out on Thursday. I can't wait any longer.
I can't wait. And I've only just found out about it.
Yeah, you have. Good stuff. Okay. Any more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Awooga, everybody. See you next Thursday for Nick Helms.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.